Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds,
and more.
Ooh. And visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. If you have a topic or guest, you can find us on the Discord, or you can email us at wadeandwillie@gmail.com. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, returning second time. Yeah, second time.
Yeah, it's my second time.
Stand-up comic via Palm Springs, California, Justin Lintz. Hey, Justin.
Hey, everybody.
What up, dude?
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
What did we talk about on your last episode?
We talked about ley lines, and we talked about the conspiracy of demarcation.
Did I make an Emily DeMicardo joke?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, here it is. Something about Emily. I don't even know who that is. I just know that name.
I just told a friend of mine, the punchline is in the pacing.
Yeah. This is why I never did stand up. The WOW scale stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. At the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5 points. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to be Wade on the WOW scale?
Oh, yeah.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes. Yes and yes.
Okay. Ghosts.
Oh, ghosts. I thought there was another pacing question where there was going to be a long ellipse and then the rest of the question. Yes, ghosts.
Let's dive into the world of ghosts. Sorry. What a Bigfoot? What about Bigfoot?
Yes.
Oh, shit. All right.
Nice.
Here's where the wheat separates from the chaff. Was 9/11 an inside job?
Can I ask a follow-up question before I answer yes or no?
Sure, yeah.
Inside job meaning U.S. government or inside job meaning a government conspiracy?
My version's too vague. My version is like, there's more going on than what we know about. Willie, do you want it to be our government?
Did our government help with the cover-up?
Oh, yes. I would say yes to that, yeah.
I mean, now you've answered so quickly that I feel like that's a leading question.
Well, weird part is the minute I ask a sub question, isn't it already a yes? Like at that point, I'm like, wait a minute.
Let's
preface this.
Yeah. Which conspiracy would you like me to believe?
Because if I said no, that would have been even weird. I'm like, no. Then that case, no.
All right, last question. The multiverse. Do you believe in the multiverse? And do you believe that we could maybe transfer into it or out of it at some point?
I'm going to say yes. I oddly have science to back some of that up. But like, I would say yes.
You're a full-fledged 5 now.
I was going to say, yeah. Hey, man, COVID's been hard on all of us.
Just before we move into the topic, very, very briefly, I read to Willie an article last week that was talking about that science has proven that we don't live in a simulation. What are your thoughts on simulation?
I would love to believe in simulation theory, but deep down, I can't. Like, I don't think there's too much processing power. Like, I just don't, I don't understand how that would be possible.
Well, it's quantum based.
It is quantum based. I've read way too many not smart people acting smart about this exact theory.
Oh, you mean and, the podcast?
Well, yeah, this is or me at any Thursday at any coffee shop waiting
right,
in line.
Right.
I feel like too much is random for a simulation to be an accurate portrayal of what we're experiencing.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember the crux of the article. I think there was a paradox.
My take is I feel like our existence is like a simulation in that the way that it's 2D projected onto 3D. But
oh, that's a very interesting way of putting that.
That's so funny because 9 out of 10 people would not have had any reaction.
Like, so you're saying like an augmented reality, like you're saying like reality plus bonus, and the bonus is what.
So to me, if that is the case, then the multiple realities could be could parallel the spectrum of light, in that it's like, well, there's an infinite amount of space of light all next to each other, all packaged in this one.
But and all completely perceivable in different ways from different directions. I don't hate it. It feels like that has legs, like tinfoil wrapped crazy legs.
I know. I'm like, honestly, I'm excited that you're on board, because like I could say that to 20 people and not one of them have a reaction. You know, it's like,
listen, I'm sort of into this shit, and I don't even know how to talk to Willie about it. Like, so I
don't even have any shows to plug, so I'm just going to plug PBS documentaries about the multiverse right now.
I don't understand how you can have socialized media and then spend a lot of the money on like conspiracy. Like, how do they justify that? Are they like, I get it with like comedy and stuff, but is there not some minister of like entertainment who's going like, no,
not this.
Yeah, this entertainment is subpar. this is too close to our state secrets.
Well, that's what's kind of strange about, I mean, it's a UFO theory and all that stuff, is like the way that people have described the reaction to the conspiracy theories, especially UFO theory and things like that, is the crazier somebody is that believes in a theory that has weight, the crazier that theory then becomes.
Yeah.
So just because somebody has been abducted by aliens and that person is an idiot, that doesn't make them a smart person. They're still an idiot. So why not just let that person go tell their story? Because everybody knows that person is an idiot. It's the Simpsons thing where, like, when Kang and Kodos abduct Homer and they bring him back and they just spray him with rum.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what is this? Some kind of truth serum or some kind of like forgetting ray? And they go, no, it's rum. No one will believe your story. That's every crazy person that they've ever let just kind of like go on about 9/11 conspiracy theory, like go on about UFO conspiracy.
And they definitely have their fingers in some of the information that they're getting. So like, they're, you know, misinformation is so big that credible people are spewing wrong information everywhere. And it's,
and that's disinformation, which disinformation is a weapon of the CIA. Like, we know this because of the
FOIA. Okay, slow down. Yeah. All right, hang on. We're not even into the topic yet.
No, we're not even close.
I shouldn't have asked.
Willie and I took the last boat to Crazy Town.
Can you think of the documentary you were looking for?
It is called Parallel Worlds, Parallel Lives. It follows the lead singer of the Eels, a gentleman named Mark Everett, learning about his father, who is a guy named Dr. Hugh Everett. He was a scientist in the 1950s, who is the scientist that is credited with parallel worlds theory and is credited with interdimensional theory. It's the first time. Yeah. So it's literally 2008, 2007. It was a BBC PBS thing. Hugh Everett III is a theoretical physicist who proposed a mini worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. This dates back to, what did he do? It's the 1950s.
And the Eels guy didn't know what his dad was doing?
So he did, but his father was really like distant. So he wasn't aware of it until he was an adult. Like, because he's a kid and his dad's like, how are you going
to
describe that?
It is hard talk to, because I've talked to Moose about afterlife and the universe, and it's like, it's hard to have a conversation because then you have to lay the groundwork in the middle of the conversation of possibilities.
And Moose is 4?
He's about to turn 8.
Oh, damn. I still write 2017 on checks, by the way.
But to me, COVID hasn't even happened yet.
Right? I'm still waiting for it. I'm still hoarding toilet paper. That's how behind I am. So going back to the multidimensional thing, the reason I brought that up is that goes to question 2. I don't believe that ghosts are ghosts. I believe that ghosts are literally us seeing different dimensions coming too close to our dimension, and we're seeing a crossover effect between the two dimensions themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's ghosts we're seeing. I think that we're seeing literally
something. I'm into that too. That's why, like, sometimes I can just say that, oh, it's energy, you know, but it's like, to say that is a throwaway, because it's like, well, it's kind of, the definition messes up what.
I think my problem with that is that it's too, I don't know, boring. It's more fun to think that my grandma like visited me the night of her death, and that now every time I see a butterfly, it's my grandma saying hello.
I know. But I think that that energy is valid too, you know. And also, there's times where I felt like really dark things, and I'm going like, I know that I could be anxiously tricking my brain and believing in something, but there also could be something there that my body perceives that I can't understand.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Here's how I combine the Wade and the Willies of this podcast. I take your sarcasm and I throw it away, Wade, and I'm going to pretend that you just meant all of the thing about the butterfly thing. Who is to say that consciousness is not light enough or heavy enough to pass through those dimensions when we shake an earthly bond? Maybe it's your grandma's a ghost butterfly coming in.
That's why I don't like it, because like it makes sense, you know, and that's why I don't like
it. That's why I don't believe in the whole like that thing from a couple of years ago with like the heaven is real bullshit, where it was like the little kid who was like had the soul of an old man and could describe to his parents what heaven was like and all this other shit. I don't believe that at all, because it's too easy. It fills too much of the painting with things that we're not meant to know. Like, not necessarily that heaven's real, but it's too easy for like, how arrogant is it for us to think that we know what the afterlife is like?
Did he say that like the streets were chocolate? Was it basically just Homer's?
His thing was like the streets are gold, and it like it matched like this whole evangelical.
That's
easy,
so stupid. That's so stupid.
That's what throws me off. I know we're getting off, but like
we haven't even started that topic.
We haven't even started.
Just the idea that a child could be influenced by what they think heaven would look like. Because I've had conversations with Moose where it's like, he believes in Jesus, and I'm like, where did you hear this? Like, why do you believe this? And
you gotta stop. Put a stop to that, man. That's
I'm definitely like, okay, well, some people believe in this, some people believe this, and you know what? Some people believe in Jesus,
raping people your age. Now, do you like Jesus?
Don't let him start with Deuteronomy. Let him work up to it.
All right. Let's fucking rock. Let's.
I was just gonna. It's funny what they. It's with kids, man. It's like, where do they learn this shit? Once you start sending them to school and shit. But also like the idea of like a golden heaven could be from like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Oh, fucking,
you know what I mean?
Gold makes me laugh so hard. I'm like, oh, the one place where I can't spend it, I get to walk all over it.
Yeah, everyone's like what?
Silly. It's like, and also gold would make terrible roads. It's so soft. It's also conductive, which means you drop a taser in heaven, you're all dead. Like, it's gonna go forever.
Lightning in heaven.
They definitely have tasers. They definitely have everything that we have. It can't be heaven if they don't have everything that we have.
If you have streets of gold and you don't have anything else, like I mean, we didn't have houses.
Streets of gold is naked. God, it's just such a child. It's like fucking gold. Like, who gives a fuck about gold?
I want to make up a fake story about visiting heaven, and like I accidentally went in like the middle of April and had to like fill out my heaven income tax. But it's cool though, because it's heaven, because the income tax is much lower than it is on Earth. It's like, huh? Hey, they have it here. We gotta have it there.
I think that's a pretty funny rule. If we have it here, they have to. Because what if you needed to be in traffic for some reason, but you're in heaven?
Oh, God, I want to know what a heaven Cybertruck looks like so bad.
Oh, my gosh.
Does it have a bunch of headlights so it's actually biblically accurate?
Anytime I hear somebody say as above, so below, you know, in reference to the ocean that we can't break through going out into space, I'm just like, well, we've broken the surface of the ocean. You know, we know what it looks like underneath the ocean. So like, as soon as you say firmament in the flat earth world, I'm just like, I'm out.
Because then it becomes this weird, like I was saying about the whole like heaven theory. It's too easy. Like, it makes your thing a tight, neat little package. And if we know anything about life, we know that it's like all the loose ends aren't going to be tied up, because we'll never understand the puzzle completely.
The one thing we cannot do is define the afterlife. It's impossible.
That's what makes me so mad about this kid saying what they say. I don't know if they say that in the Bible or what, because I don't like study, but like,
yeah, I don't know if they don't talk about reincarnation. Not in the Western one.
Yeah, I just meant Streets of Gold, but how?
So like, that is a thing in the Western Bible. Is okay. The gold palaces and gold, like,
so that pisses me off, yeah, because yeah, that just should. Means that this kid like read some shit or was told by his parents this thing, and it's like, dude, no, like if there's a description of heaven, you can immediately write it off because nobody knows what it is.
I'm also so pessimistic. I'm very skeptical the minute that something can be manipulated,
yeah,
to kind of match a narrative, including a child, by especially manipulative a parent and like things like that. Honestly, if Moose was like dead on conspiracy theories, I would blame Willie about that right away.
Oh, the Jesus, I always
is such a curveball.
I'm very safe at telling him, you know, like, well, you know, because like he didn't used to believe in Bigfoot, now he does. I'm like, you know, most people don't. You know, I try to remind him that, yeah, like, people have different beliefs. And
the weirdest part is how you're like telling him all that shit about Jesus and you didn't know it's just some kid in his class that he likes.
Yeah, he's trying to impress a girl by how much he knows about Christ. That's how little kids work. That's so funny. But I am very excited about this topic.
Yeah, let's get into it. Willie, hit us with the topic.
All right,
yeah,
here we go. Tonight, wait, on Real Life.
You guys, do you guys have like hackers music you can play underneath this? Because I think that's very necessary.
Ooh, I have a theme song, but I would rather play a hacker song. I'll change it for this.
Nice, yeah, cool.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Cicada 3301, the internet's most elaborate unsolved mystery. Puzzles for hackers, recruitment tool for an intelligent agency like CIA, NSA, MI6. Grab a drink and join us as we delve into this mystery with someone who worked on the 2014 puzzle tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Yeah! Okay.
Yay!
Okay, so wait, do you know anything about this? Because Willie said that you don't know about the topic before you guys start.
Yeah, basically, no, I know nothing about this. I've never heard of it.
I'll give a quick one over, and then Justin, you can jump into where you came in. So Perfect. Basically on January 4th, 2012, an anonymous user on 4chan posted a black and white image of a duck in a top hat, concealing a scenographic message challenging solvers to find the hidden message and embark on a global hunt for highly intelligent individuals. So for 3 years, everyone's running around going like, what the fuck is this? Trying to team up. I mean, like, here's an announcement. Now, we've seen ARG puzzles in the past, but here's like, hey, are you smart?
Augmented reality games?
Yes, or games that use the internet to create a simulated reality to then play a game in the real world that's all going back to an original game.
Okay. Is geocaching a part of this, or is that something else?
So geocaching comes into the Cicada puzzle as a, let's say, a minor player. You see elements of geocaching, you see elements of treasure hunting, you see elements of demarcation, you see elements of map finding. This is a multi-layered, like, they use dead puzzles as a way to throw people.
What's a dead puzzle?
A dead puzzle is something where you use something like Latin, or you use something like a Nordic ruin, something that hasn't been solved, something that's unsolvable, to then use that to then further the kind of who can get a hold of this information. Do you know what book code is?
No.
So book code is hiding a passcode in plain sight. So using, let's say I wanted to put a book code out and I wanted to use a passcode. So let's say the passcode was Neverland. This is just a very simple, like, mm-hmm, the password is Neverland. So what I would do is I would go find a reference to the book Peter Pan. And I would go find in that edition of that book a way to say that in a number. So you would go, let's say, ISDN number for Peter Pan. So if I look up the ISDN number for Peter Pan, it's going to give me a number. So the number for that. So
is
like,
that the Dewey Decimal? Is that how they put it in the library? What's ISDN?
Or ISBN. Sorry. It's International Standard Book Number.
Oh.
So every book has a number.
I actually didn't know what this was. Yeah. Cool.
So for example, like, this is how you do code. Like, on the ISBN number you would use in your book code. So you would go to a certain version of Peter Pan. So like,
yeah,
let's say I wanted to use the 2014 publication of Peter Pan by Jay Bari. I would put 9781503290280. And then I would put a colon And that colon would then lead you to the page number that I wanted you to find. So let's say mm-hmm. it's hypothetically page 27. Mm-hmm. And then that page number colon 3 would lead you to paragraph 3. And then I would lead you to line 16. That would lead you in. And then
long paragraph. Colon,
oh,
dude, paragraph well, 3 is a long
it's
paragraph.
It's like scripture.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a huge. It's Peter Pan, man. This they don't know yeah, anything about. So you would lead them to just the word Neverland, and then once right. you solved that book code and figured out that I was talking about this specific book and this specific time, you would then have the passcode to enter into, let's say,
to like the next thing.
Well, let's say a dark web page that has the coordinates to a puzzle that I've hidden for you to find to get somewhere else.
And that's what this did too. It did like. And
yeah.
people trying to figure this out.
So it's like national, it's like real life national treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
In a
and
way,
they
yeah.
even created websites to tell you you weren't doing it right.
Yep.
If you started to solve something a certain way and you were doing it right, it's like, oh, fuck,
that's funny.
Right dude. Again. So it was very like intelligent.
So those are honeypots. My theory. So for example, I've been working with on and off with this puzzle since like 2014. Like sometimes I'll go back and revisit it. There's passwords hidden in spectrograms, like to where you have to literally load up video into Audacity. You watch it form the spectrograph. And then if you look at the spectrograph, it will literally show you what the password is. Do you know what the Mojave phone booth is, Wade?
No.
I swear this will come back to the topic. So the Mojave phone booth was a real phone booth. It existed in the Mojave Desert up until, I believe, 2006. In 2006, they tore it down because hackers found the phone number in the 1990s and figured out that we could just call the Mojave phone booth and it would ring a phone in the middle of the desert. So yeah, people started yeah. camping by the phone. So people would answer the phone yeah. and, you know, they would ask where you were from and then you'd talk to them for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a CB radio or something.
So it was that for phone freakers with a PH. Mm-hmm. So freakers would use it as a trophy. Calling the Mojave phone booth because nobody was next to it, which meant that that phone booth was literally long distance. No matter who was calling it, you were calling long distance. So if you found the number, it meant that you were probably on a free long distance line via a blue box or via some sort of phone freaking where you were able to get free things out of like a handheld terrestrial phone. They got really mad that people were using it in this way. And then the U.S. Forestry Service went and tore the phone booth out of the ground. But phone numbers exist. So the U.S. government then had to sell the phone number. They sold it to one of our friends who lives in Denver, Colorado. And now if you call the Mojave phone booth number, which I won't disclose, but you can find it, it's a conference call. So everybody gets on there and just treats it like the old internet and
oh sits my there God.
And talks back and forth about stuff. But that number is literally the same number that's 2 hours from my house in Palm Springs. That used to be an old silver miner's number so they could call home. That in the 90s, phone freakers and hackers figured out how to call
That's
long
so
distance.
Awesome.
Cut to Cicada puzzles. So this is Cicada 3301, I would say 2015. We all get a book code through a website that we had broken into via these stenographic puzzles.
Okay, so, stop right there.
Yes.
It starts as a picture of a duck wearing a top hat. But this is, and you said 2014, didn't you?
2012 is when the duck came
yes.
out.
Yes,
yeah. 2012. And so then there was stenography in there, and you find the whatever that is a hint to. I'm just trying to do the chronology of like how far this puzzle got before Justin got involved.
Right. So over the next 3 years, there's three main puzzles: 2012, 2013, and 2014. So you jump in 2014, like the third puzzle.
2014 is still in play. 2014 to this day is unsolved and it's still in the process of being solved.
So just 2012 and 13, they're done. They led to this 2014
they led, like
one,
the 2012
just...
led to the next one. And then like everyone shared that they cracked it. And then, so everybody jumped onto the next one.
What yep. was the process of cracking the first and like, and how many people were working on this? Like how big is it and how much has it grown?
Right.
I would say probably 500 total worked on the first puzzle in 2012. And that's an optimistic number. I would say okay. it's probably less than 500 people.
Here was the message that came from the first one. Hello, we are looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we have devised a test. There is a message hidden in this image. find it, and it will lead you on a road to finding us. We look forward to meeting the few that will make it all the way through. Good luck, 3301.
I kind of just want to talk about this puzzle, but it feels like maybe, are we going to talk about like what this puzzle could possibly mean, or are we just going to talk about the puzzle? I'm happy to do
a little bit of both. I thought that the 2014 one was solved this year by quantum computer.
Was it now?
Is this devastating? It's
earlier this year.
In this community, is quantum computing like looked down upon? Because
I would
not
say
smart.
Definitely. However, yeah. I would also say this, Willie, the one that I think you're referring to, I am almost positive, like that is a honeypot. I think that my theory is the thing that was solved is not a real piece of the puzzle, and it was designed to trap a ton of solvers. And
it did its job
very well.
Okay, so a honeypot is actually devious. It's not nice. You get to a honeypot and you think you've solved it, but it doesn't say like, look again, idiot.
No, so a honeypot is it's literally, I am using the term incorrectly because that's how we would use it in solving. A honeypot is a CIA trap. A honeypot
fuck somebody.
Yeah, where they're literally.
Yeah, I'm watching The Americans right now. Yeah. It's good. If you guys haven't watched The Americans, like I put it off for a long time, but it's pretty good. So anyway, honeypot, go on.
A honeypot in this scenario isn't, obviously it's a bunch of internet nerds, so it's definitely not sexual. It was a bunch of people that were the puzzle, even when it came across my computer, it felt too easy. It felt too good. It was too hard to solve. It took a lot of brain power to even get there. And then once we really kind of noticed what we were looking at, I was just like, this feels like a trap because none of this is solvable. And
is it easy to describe the puzzle in a way that we would understand it?
Think of it like it's a scavenger hunt, but it uses really advanced.
No, but I mean the actual clue,
the real
that you're
puzzle.
Working
like
on.
What cipher did they use for the first one? They used the Caesar cipher, which
they use a Caesar cipher -3 for one of the first parts, which the way that you figure that out is you hit a Caesar cipher. Like, do you know about the Caesar cipher? Wait, I don't want to lose you.
I mean, I know what a cipher is. I'm imagining it's just some kind of famous cipher that puzzle people can
the
pull
Caesar
from.
Cipher is like the first one. So Caesar cipher is literally A equals B, B equals C, C equals
D. Oh, sure.
C,
okay. Oh, yeah.
That's always on the
online IQ tests. And I always get it right quickly. And I feel very proud. But I didn't know that.
It's how they made the Caesar salad. With the Caesar cipher, the Caesar cipher is fairly easy, but the Caesar cipher can also tell you if you just push something through the Caesar cipher, you can see if it's a Caesar. And a Caesar cipher without any numbers attached to it is literally just a +1. Caesar cipher -3 is +1 -3. It's a -2. So then you're dealing with A equals Y, and then you just extend down the list. So the duck. So back to the top hat and the duck and everything.
Yeah.
So that image, the hello message, that was the second website that you would get. The way that you would figure out that website is you would basically start to manipulate the color. So you take the image, download the image, throw it through a bunch of different color tests and see like if anything starts to pop out. Mm-hmm. What you start to notice is the cicada in the background, which is the logo.
If you don't know what it is, it's the picture of the silence of the lambs.
Yeah.
You know, moth, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so that is pretty iconic, and it definitely came after. It was definitely influenced.
Right. So is the next step to watch Silence of the Lambs?
No. So if you look really closely at the Silence of the Lambs, it's bodies. Like if you look at the image they're making, it's actually painted bodies. Mm-hmm. Like that's the whole point of that image. So the cicada in the puzzle, what they were saying with it is they're saying, if you don't solve this, we disappear for another 15 years. That's how everybody has taken the cicada reference, is we're in plain sight, but we're buried. Like you're not
no
going to see
smart
us.
Enough right now. We'll be back.
Yep, we'll come back when you are. In the first image, the top hat duck image, you literally start flipping it around and it tells you that you're wrong. It says, oh no, there's nothing going on in this image. And then if you flip that again, you get the website that takes you to that first message. The other thing that you, like that message, the black screen that you're talking about, Willie, that is also a stenography effect as well. So if you flip that, you get another website. That website would take you to a dark website, which then takes you to an administrative, it was like an admin and passcode website. So you had to break something. And then they went back and they hid other stuff as far as like how to get into that website and how to go here. Long story short, with the original one, it wound up being you broke enough websites down to where it told you that you had to go scan these six images that were in on five different continents. After two of the six got scanned, then they released a statement on 4chan that said, "We are against you working in groups. This has to be a solo effort. We will punish anybody working as a group." Who knows who some of these solvers were? Three or four of them were able to get there and were able to get to these certain things. And it was so indiscriminate and so inconspicuous the way they put these QR codes out there. Some were on like poles. They looked like a band flyer, but it was literally just the cicada with a QR code underneath it. And there was one in Japan. There was one in the UK. There was one in Germany. I believe there was one in North America. Some, I think it was New York. And then there was one in LA. So it was like they hit them everywhere. You had to literally circumvent the globe to get to them.
But once you had it, did they change it? How did they?
It led you to a site. So that site heavily monitored. There's somebody always watching that site. So any new IP address is going to immediately be suspicious. So they were starting to like, how much do you know about information security and like websites and stuff? Do you know what a whitelist is? How to whitelist a website?
Yeah.
So there's also blacklisting. So whitelisting is you put everybody's IP in there that you want accessible on that website. It makes it to where that website is not published, but it's available for those people on that IP. So my friend is at 63.73.168.1. Okay, I'm going to put their name in the whitelist so now they can see my website. You can also blacklist. So if you leave your site public and you're sitting there monitoring activity and you start to see some activity you don't recognize, you could blacklist those IPs, knock them out. That way they can't see your website anymore. So all of these people they thought were working as groups or people that they saw as suspicious activity, they would throw them off. So only certain people had access to these sites. And they were also, they were time sensitive. So the sites would shut down after like 14 days. So there was, everything was ticking clock. Everything.
So wait, when did you first hear about this? When and how did you hear about it?
So I heard about it from a algorithm produced video that somebody had made about the very first solving. And it was like 50 seconds. And it was like, this is the world's hardest puzzle is the way that I had originally been introduced to it. This was like 2013. So then I noticed the 2014 puzzle was out there. Like it was coming. Like people had been talking about it and like certain websites were like addressing it. And it seemed really fun. Like it seemed like a weird, I wasn't really doing a lot of time. It seemed like a thing that I could kind of, like I'm autistic, so it's like puzzles, like, I'm in, like, hey, it's a puzzle. And adding the degree of difficulty made it really intriguing to like even attempt it. Started to go after it, started to learn a lot about it. Solved one of the book codes, which was a Ronald Dahl book that I figured out, a Roald Dahl book, and was able to kind of help. And then it was like, oh my gosh, I'm like helping with this group as far as solving these puzzles. That's when we started to figure out how to do like spectra analyzing. So like spectrum analyzing is audio spectrum analyzing is you throw it through an analyzer and it will literally show you what that wave file looks like. I knew about that because of Aphex Twin.
Okay. Awesome. What?
So Aphex
like, Twin, how did that apply? You know what I mean? That like, that, I don't think that was something that people could like pull out of their hat.
Think it's a weird musician and you'd hear songs that were like, this sounds weird. And you'd put it through a spectrum analyzer and it's like, oh, so you know, the Aphex Twin logo or like that, like weird symbol that he uses, he would hide that in songs. So you like in the subharmonics or like things that weren't actually being thrown through a speaker, he would make negative space to like draw Aphex Twin or like draw his logo in the background of songs that then you would have to go analyze with the computer. So I knew about this because of like weird friends of mine that had done this. And then I was like, I feel like there's something hidden in here. And it was because I was hearing gaps. If you listen to something with high enough spectrum headphone, you're able to hear edits. You can hear when people take things out because, as we've all been in film stuff before, if you don't do wild sound, every time you turn the camera on, you can hear it. So it makes these weird, like, and like, you can take all that out if you just record the room in silence. That's where this comes in, is you wind up being like, oh, there's like these weird things where I can hear somebody pulling something out. Go in and analyze it. It's a dark web website. So it was able to take us even further by doing all of these different things through internet.
But you're cheating because you're working together.
This is the second puzzle. The second puzzle was the first time they allowed us to work as groups.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So that was me working with the second puzzle.
Got it. Wow. And you actually contributed.
Yeah. And I felt great about it. Like the minute that like I was able to solve it, like, and I did, like, I helped with a lot of stuff and I was able to solve maybe two things in a line of 100 things. But I was
always
when
you walk into an escape room, do you just know everything? Do you just scan an escape room and go, oh, we got to put the torch in the bed? And
that being said, Wade, during COVID, my wife and I started to do escape rooms because it's a clean environment. It was something we could go do outside of the house.
Yeah.
We were regularly scoring in the top 25 for solving, and there was two of us. It's like, these are designed for like 5 or 6 people, and we were able to solve them very quickly.
Yeah.
Pretty good at escape rooms. I love escape rooms, dude.
I don't want to go to an escape room with you because I would probably just sit there and watch you do everything. Like, I have a group of escape room people, and we feel pretty on a level. We don't do it anymore. Yeah. This is years
ago. We want to do the LA Hotel, the one that has a bunch of them in it. I really want to do that one. It's like 30 different rooms. Like, it's escape rooms are like designed for people with autism. Like, it's so it hits a spot in my brain.
There's just real quick. There's one. I think it's in Orange County, and it's amazing. But you would need 5 people because they give you roles. You're in an 80s horror movie. And so someone gets the jock, someone gets the cheerleader. You fill out a little questionnaire before and then they assign you your roles. It's hilarious.
Is there a holding pen where I can make 3 friends and me and my wife can do this? With five They're like, you guys can't go until you're nice
it's
to
like,
3 people.
We need a jock. We need a cheerleader. We need you pick the 3 dumbest 80s.
Hey, man. I refuse to go as anything with a metalhead. Like, I
and
feel
a
like,
surfer.
Yeah, it's like, listen, man, like, you can't, you can pick a role, but you can't be so steadfast in it. Nobody wants to join you.
It's a blast. I think I've done like 3 or 4 of the Hollywood ones. They've probably changed them all now, but it's fun because you can get a drink at the bar beforehand and you feel like you're in a hotel and stuff. The rooms are fine. They're like, you know, on the level.
I've never done one.
So that one in Orange County, I've heard, is really good. I've heard about that one. And like the ones we started doing were in Vegas. And there's one, the name of it is deceiving because it sounds like the worst ever escape room. It's called Number 1 Escape Room and it's in Las Vegas. And oh my God, like, they gotta be violating some laws because there is some fun stuff in there that I'm like, there's no way this is legal. There's one called The Cabin where it's 2 parts where you're trying to escape a serial killer that's like slowly going to make it back to his cabin and you're stuck in the cabin. I swear they come in and like start screwing with stuff, like they like move the door and just scare you to death, but you have to like army crawl through parts of it. And I'm like, you can't do this. This is such an ADA violation. There's no way. That one was super fun. The first one that we did scared the living crap out of me because it was like 1960s escape from jail one. And the first thing they did was handcuff me to a bench and lock my wife in a real jail cell. And I was like, I feel like this is how we die. Is this Saw 6? Like,
right?
It was very. And we
being
it was
a
really
serial
fun.
Killer between ICE and escape rooms, being a serial killer has never been easier. You can just grab somebody off the streets, throw them in your fake escape, or
just
put an ad out
job.
For an escape room.
Yeah,
I
right?
mean, I don't want to talk about the American economy, but I feel like that's one of the only ones working. is the American serial killer? It's on the rise.
It's thriving.
So when I started doing Cicada, I did it with groups because it was allowed. Super, super fun. I was doing it for the most part in my garage in Las Vegas and just having fun trying to solve the 2014 puzzle that I was talking about. Because it had been 3 years and we were still working on it. And it was to the point where we got to the book. And like, that's kind of where my solving stalled with it. Because it's like, I could not solve the runes. It got to the point where we got presented this book, which was 80 pages of a dead runic language that was what we were able to decipher was it was a combination of Nordic ruins and Swedish ruins. Liber Primus. There it is.
This is crazy. This is the Tolkien.
So here's our book.
So
even looking at this gives me anxiety.
Is this you said Tolkien? Is this the dwarven language or something?
So this is a combination of Swedish rooted Viking runes and Nordic runes.
Oh, you said that. So that's what I'm looking at.
Numbers. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And how many pages?
You go.
Did you say 75 or something?
75 pages, yeah. So, the thing you were talking about with the quantum computer relies on solving this. However, what we've been able to figure out is we're able to figure out like 17 pages of it. Mostly it's nonsense. It doesn't really make any sense, but then you start to notice this code is starting to come out. And what we realize is there's like four or five different codes just in these runes. So when you solve for the runes, then you have, I want to say it translates into a separate language. Then you do a language translation that becomes numbers. Then the numbers become a binary translation. It goes crazy. Like it goes to the point where it frustrated a ton of us, and myself included, where I couldn't really wrap my head around how smart it was getting so quickly. And, you know, that kind of sucked, but it was also the thing of like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is to trap smart people, because I've been looking at this whole thing as something to be solved, but there's definitely been things that we've had to ignore, like to keep moving towards the right puzzle. And all this looks like is just walking through sap. It looks like a way to fool us.
That weirds me out about it is it's monitored the whole time. I want to get into the possibilities of who put this on, because
I feel
I feel like the story is not accurate.
I don't think it is either. And I feel like this is a story wrapped in disinformation. It's a story wrapped in misinformation. And it's something where to truly solve this puzzle, I don't even know if it's possible, because who knows if we're even on the right path? Who knows if this is all just one big honeypot, like to where we know that certain parts of it have been solved, and we know that because of things that have been revealed and things that we know. However, it's rough. Like, it's a hard thing to even wrap your head around, to then be at the mercy of the jester, so to speak, to be like, have I been following the fool the whole time? Because that has definitely come up multiple times. This goes back and forth between dark web to real life world type stuff. Most of the dark web stuff I don't even mess with anymore, because I don't care. Like, there's plenty of us solving that. Like, there's plenty of people that will go fish it out. But I don't believe the quantum computer has solved this. I don't think so. Mainly because, I mean, should we let Wade know who the theory is on who's behind some of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean...
So this is what led me to kind of stop working in this world, as we started to realize, are you familiar with the Golden State Killer, Wade?
Yeah.
So there are ties with this puzzle to the guy that was known to be hiding and being one of the accomplices that was helping the Golden State Killer. So all of us immediately were like, nope, not getting fooled by a goddamn serial killer.
Right.
Even if it's fake, that's enough to make me stop doing it. It's also a thing where who knows, like at that point, because when that guy is in prison, so the guy that was caught with the Golden State Killer being caught, this was 2017 when they got arrested. There has been zero, not a single website presence since 2017 that matches the 2FA code that we use. That's
right. Spin so code. It supports the idea that, yeah, that was the person. And, and it's weird because it just feels so much bigger than that.
But the code has never matched. Literally, like when you look at the original code at the bottom of all of the Cicada references, there is a code that has always been decipherable. It's always matched, that you know it's the person. Not since 2017 has that code ever matched. It always matched from 2012 to 2017. That code always matched. So who knows if somebody picked up the reins? Who knows if this is somebody else? This is an ongoing conspiracy. And also, people tend to think there's another side of this conspiracy theory, that people think it's the CIA. Like, people believe this is a recruiting tool by the CIA and the NSA to find people that can kind of live in both worlds, as far as like logic, hacking, stenography, all of these different like ways to stay anonymous, because like Willie was saying, these websites are monitored, and some of the websites that are monitored, half of getting around that was to get underneath that monitoring. There was a way you had to break in, and they would leave that part of it open. But if you got caught, they'd blacklist you. You'd get blacklisted. Yeah. You couldn't even access it.
It throws me off because I always think that the smartest people around are just going to get blackmailed into working for CIA, and then they're going to create things to try to find.
But if you could work for the CIA, wouldn't you? I would do that. I don't care. I really don't care about like the
personally.
Morals.
There's too much to lose because you don't retire from the CIA. Not
that's
at that
I
level.
Love, what
that's
was
great.
The,
so the only way out is to die.
Have you seen the series The Prisoner?
Well, things are exactly.
I'm like, The Prisoner to me is one of the most fascinating TV shows of all time.
Well, The Prisoner, okay. But The Prisoner is, okay, it's a 1970s.
60s,
I mean,
right, yeah. It's
oh,
old.
Yeah, it's a 60s. It's old.
Oh, let's not forget, too, that The Prisoner is a spinoff.
Of what?
You know about that, right? It's a spinoff of Secret Agent.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So the main, have you seen The Prisoner, Wade?
I tried. It's too old.
That main guy before the prisoner,
McEwen? I forget his
McEwen,
name.
Yeah. So before the prisoner, he played a MI6 agent, and the show was called Secret Agent. In a lot of ways, the prisoner is him retired. Like he puts in his letter of resignation. Like that's how the prisoner starts. Puts in his letter of resignation, and then as he's sitting there in the elevator waiting to get to his, like drives his car in, like. Something bothers him. That's why he retires. That's the whole point of the prisoner. And then he's drugged and then put on the island.
Right. And chased by bubbles.
You know, the show is also not in order.
The prisoner is not?
Nope. There's a specific order to watch the show and to understand what's really going on.
I'm not aware of that.
So somebody figured it out. I want to say it's a public broadcasting station in San Jose figured it out.
You guys are finding puzzles where there's not puzzles.
No, I am bored and I look for them.
Is this a legit? Somebody created an entire television show and then put it out of order for Easter egg finders from almost 100 years later?
Wow.
Yeah. Often recommended is the narrative flow and consistency. They did it on purpose to hide what's really going on in the show. So there is a specific
order.
Which was, I want to say, originally founded by some weird public access television station. It's bizarre. Like, I mean, that's what's crazy about.
Wait, okay. Why are we talking about?
Because of puzzles and because of the CIA and like you can't retire from the CIA. Willie brought up
I think,
because that's how you retire is they just put you on an island with.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if you're the type of I would join that. If they're listening, I don't know if I'm smart enough or whatever, but. I would totally join the CIA. I don't care. I think it would be fun.
I mean, that to me is a crazy idea that like no matter what secret agency you work for, as soon as you want to retire, you're going to die because there's
so
been too many people on their deathbeds exposed.
But think of the life that you've lived. You're going around, killing people, you're
it's
fucking
weird
drugging people, you're
the
finding
more
out
that
secret
I,
information.
The more that I think that this is the afterlife, and our real life is our souls after we die. I'm going like, well, why should I stop myself from doing anything? It's like, why am I a prisoner to someone else's bullshit in this realm of nothing's real?
I don't know why you are.
That's a personal problem, Willie.
It's not me. You're not talking about me.
So here is have you guys seen One Battle After Another? Like, did you watch it yet?
Not yet.
Uh-uh. Okay. They like it goes all over the place and it doesn't really ruin the movie, but there's like this like whole thing of like
a civil rights protester, right?
Yes, but this is a specific part of the movie. Did you guys play Metal Gear Solid 2?
Oh my god.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I've definitely played a Metal Solid.
It's a well-known like silly conspiracy thing, and I say silly because I don't want to get kidnapped in the middle of the night. That like there's like the people that are really running things are like this puppet government of 12 people that really run everything. Not necessarily Illuminati, but like I think in Metal Gear Solid, they literally call it like the Lili Lulele or something like that. Like
I don't remember.
It's
but...
something in super Japanese that's not translatable into English. And they made these adorable English voice actors just say that word. Oh, but it's the whole idea that there's like 12 people that are really running things. And like, it's this Illuminati theory, right? So that comes up in One Battle After Another. We're watching One Battle After Another. Great movie. I recommend it. But there's like this whole like shadow government that's really running things behind the scenes that they like allude to, basically. And part of me going to Wade's theory on this is I'm like, man, that'd be so cool to be like on the inside of some of that stuff. And then I think about like, oh yeah, all the people I'm next to are also untouchable, which means I'm touchable by the untouchables. So it just becomes this whole thing. It's like you could know all the secrets, but then the next thing you know, like somebody murders you or puts you on an island with a bunch of floating balls.
Yeah, I'm down for either, though. Both sound like an adventure, right?
That's an adventurous lifestyle, Wade. I'm very not that adventurous, I guess.
Oh, I wish I could do something. I wish I was more in shape.
If something was forcing me to fucking jump in to shit, I'm like, that's, I don't know. I mean,
jump into shit. What do you mean?
Just like fucking making me have to take action. Cause right now, no matter what's happening, I don't need to do whatever. I don't need to like,
jump in. Just mean any obligation?
Yeah. Just like,
yeah, no, I'm with you. But so like, if my obligation was to drug a Russian,
right? I'm going like, as soon as let's say fucking shit goes down and then like the world is going to change in some way, whatever. And I'm going like, oh, I need to go rob a bank right now. I'm like, okay, I'm in. Let's go.
Wait, I love that the world has collapsed and the first thing you're going to do is rob a bank full of currency. That's totally worthless now.
Listen, logic problems aside.
Stop living like, the heat lifestyle and we need to think more Ice Age.
But it can't be a bank because it's got to be small bills. So like what has small bills? Well, everyone's got these weird safes that are time release. I don't know, whatever. I'm just going like,
I picture you robbing a food bank.
I think,
we got to get these meds.
Meters. As soon as the world goes to shit, I'm going to break apart these parking meters and have thousands of coins.
You're going to be the coin man. Like you just want to be a minor character in the Escape from LA franchise.
Right.
I get that. That's fine.
I'm going to look like Popeye. My forearms are going to be so big from carrying money bags around.
Don't mess with that. That's Willie Quarters.
And then what do you, it's Willie Quarters is pretty good. Oh, guys. Okay, here comes Willie Quarters. Like, you just don't engage with him. Because, like, what are you doing? Are you selling the quarters? Are you using them as weapons? Like, how do you...
Well, I feel like there's at least 3 years of people still attaching to money, even though money doesn't work. Where it's okay. Like, well, this is still valuable.
We've all been poor at certain parts in our life. You've smelled what a bunch of quarters smell like together, right? It smells terrible. Your coat would smell awful.
I don't mind the smell.
Even apocalypse, like even in apocalyptic standards, it would be like,
well, it's definitely the
why does Willie Quarters always smell
that
like
you feet? Could. I just don't like your plan at all. That for 3 years, you're going to maybe bilk the people who still believe in currency.
Well, and we're literally poking quarter size holes in your plan.
I'm just going like, what is of value immediately? Right. People aren't starving yet.
Here's my new plan. It used to be gum. Now it's chapstick. I'm taking all the chapstick because the people addicted to chapstick don't know how miserable life's going to be. Without it, I
do agree with you on that, and I do think that cigarettes will become valuable again because for how many people quit?
Oh, cigarettes are going to be super.
I think
valuable.
cigarettes and nasal spray. I think nasal like watching the most like square friends of mine freak out when they can't find their nasal spray. Holy shit! Like I've seen crackheads less intense than my poor friend with a stuffy nose.
Nasal spray is not bad. My plan is better because there's no shelf life. And even if there is, it's chapstick. Like,
I'm gonna go build a river of gold.
What is nasal spray over the counter? I just feel that's gonna be gone. But picture this.
I'm why it's gone.
Okay, that's fine. If you can get there first, I wake up late. I'll be there like 8 hours after everyone's been mm-hmm. through it, and I can picture the pristine lineup of chapstick that's still just waiting there for me that everyone else considered not Doritos. And I grab all of that chapstick and I'm good. Like one thing of chapstick, you're going to have to give me like a sandwich for it because it lasts forever. And I've got a billion of them.
Let's say chapstick went away. I feel like I could find some honeycomb and like just put some honey on my lips.
That's fine. You try that. And then when you see me and I've got my chapstick, tell me how much you want my chapstick for, because honey is not going to.
Because I feel like if you're Sticky Lip Willy over here and you come across the guy who has like a solution that's not sticky, I think Wade's got a good plan.
I forget how sticky. I haven't had honey in a while. You're right.
Yeah, well, you could use. You know, I'm going to get the petroleum jelly and I'm going to get like the stuff that could maybe be competitors. And then when I run out of chapstick, I'll start dipping into that.
You're just down. It's like cutting your chapstick with a little.
Sorry. Oh, that would be funny. I'm like burning it to see if it gets harder. So it's like chapstick or something.
You learn how to wail just so that you can get the.
Hey, like, fucking A. That's how society comes back, right? Who knows,
what are you how here we for? Rebuild? Chapstick.
Dude, if I was the only guy in the world who knew how to make chapstick, I could fucking print my own ticket, right? Like, no one's gonna fuck with me at that point.
Yeah,
I'm a scientist at that point.
I know, like that's the whole goal, I think, now is to come up with, instead of like how to make money now, it's like how to make money when you can't make money.
Well, my whole thing, like, I swear, like, the whole reason I know that we are like, it's like the apocalypse is on its way, like as far as like civilized society collapsing,
sure,
is because I turned 43 in December. My entire life has been nothing but dead professions that don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
like I was a 35 millimeter movie projectionist when I was in high school, and I was like, this is totally gonna last forever. and then I was a Cisco, like I had a CCNA, I was a Cisco certified network associate, and then I got laid off in 2008 when the financial crisis happened, so that doesn't even exist anymore. Like, I feel like at this point, like, I should learn how, like, black powder works, because I'm like, listen, if everything that I choose to learn how it works dies off, I'm just going to start learning dead professions now.
Oh,
or it's interesting. Learn professions of something that you want to die. You know, you should go into, like, nuclear weapons making. And then that'll go away, and then we won't have any more nuclear weapons. And then maybe society can correct.
If I fail making a nuclear weapon, it's all over. I can't be given the option of complete global annihilation as a failure.
It wouldn't. You're smart. You wouldn't fail.
I don't want everybody's last word to be, what happened?
Like, I want if I blew up the world and everyone said, what happened? I would be satisfied. As long as it doesn't say, what did Wade Randolph do to end the world? And then my name's everywhere. But let's
destroyed Earth, but there's a statue that blames you for the destruction of Earth floating around. And it's like, damn it, I knew that would come back to haunt me.
I'm trying to sell chapstick and the it follows me somehow, like almost spiritually, it just keeps showing up wherever I am.
You're the guy who like, that's the chapstick guy.
That's the chapstick guy. He ruined the world.
He set the first domino in motion that caused the destruction of the planet.
That's a pretty funny premise. The guy who ruined the world that has to live, and he's famous for it.
Everybody knows. Yeah.
that's how I know that we're cooked, because like the generation before us, let's think the David Bowie song, The Man Who Sold the World, we're all just convinced we're going to fuck it up. So it's now the man that ruined the world instead of sold it. There's nobody left to sell it to. I just ruined the whole thing.
Is there, okay, so
Well,
the current puzzle has been going for so long. Justin, you're not convinced there's... What do you think? Is there an answer to it, or do you think it's this guy who went to jail?
I have a feeling that it's multiple people. I do not believe that it's over. I think that somebody is going to pick up the mantle of this and kind of make it either make sense or is going to be able to solve it via reverse archiving, like to be able to solve it from the completion and then figure out why it was this. I think we're 5 years from a documentary of it being anywhere close to making sense. At this point,
Jesus Christ. I mean, if that's true, we should start the documentary right now. And in 5 years...
So there's been a couple of documentaries about it, about the different cycles of it, but I don't even know how to put this one into words yet.
So is there any promise of a finish? I mean, like, is throughout this entire process, nobody has known what the point of any of this is, except for to solve puzzles.
So it feels very open and not in a good way right now.
Yeah.
Like in the sense that, like, almost in a deism type of way, like we're all trying to solve something that's long dead.
Right.
I honestly don't hate that because, I mean, I love dead video games. I like kind of like liminal spaces that we've created in the internet age are a really interesting thing to me. Like dead games where the server's still active, but there's like five people on it. Like those people are fascinating.
I know.
But I mean, the whole thing with Cicada is I feel like the people that were solving, they're still around. Those people have gone on to make lots of puzzles. Those people have created a lot of really cool things. So if anything, like one thing that's come out of this is that a lot of smart people got to know each other and a lot of people were impressed enough by this to kind of make their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like whoever created the initial puzzle, I don't buy into the killer stuff, even though that all conveniently ended when he got arrested.
See, I've been saying this the whole time, and I feel the exact same way. It's too easy.
This is another government secret agency jumping into us, and our secret agencies are all paying attention. And we've basically created a list of the top 500 people in America that can solve things based on the first one. Everyone else that jumped on board, it's just like we've just expanded this list of people that are a threat to the future of the way things work. They've compiled their list.
If you leave a giant puzzle trail. Otherwise, I don't know that anyone is a threat. I mean, you would have to leave a breadcrumb trail of extreme puzzles.
I mean, that's what this is.
No, I know, but why would that be to find bad people, like enemies?
No.
I misspoke. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm saying they're tracking the smart people. Why?
Because the people that are tracking them are not good people, and they're trying not to. It's A, maybe a recruitment tool. B, maybe a who can stop us? I think it's very devious. I feel like
here's what I don't understand about the who can stop us thing. You would have to leave a like this all started because they posted a picture of a duck. What puzzle could these people solve that would threaten, you know, capitalism or whatever? I mean, like,
but that's in a movie. That's already been a movie with Keanu Reeves, and he protects a kid, and he does. Oh no, it's not. It's Bruce Willis. It's called Mercury Rising.
Okay. I feel like the history of spies is all about code breaking.
And this absolutely goes back into that. Yes, absolutely.
The future is in that realm too of these of people trying to have control of the future. And I don't know, you know, I'm
okay.
Like,
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess it seems like a lot to identify people who maybe wouldn't even have been into this if you didn't. It's that part in Matrix where she goes, you know, if I wouldn't have mentioned the lamp, you wouldn't have broken it or whatever it is, the vase. Like if they didn't put this out here, like Justin, you wouldn't even have known if you were like into this unless this thing you'd come across it at some point. And so it's like, it feels like the worst way to drag the ocean is all I'm saying.
Yeah. So I get where you're coming from, Wade, but at the same time, the whole reason that this came across my plate in the first place is because of an algorithm at work, which is already a conspiracy in its own right, of things being shown to people to pique their interest. Like, what did I do to make this land on my plate?
Who's going to step out of line? That's how I see this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, and if you're not going to join them, who are you going to join? I love to think that it's me being smart, but it's totally me being just fooled by every 90s spy thriller that I've ever seen. Is what I know from spy thrillers and spy movies is spies are inherently paranoid of people that are their peers and are willing to kill to keep their own secrets. Like, that's what we know from every spy movie that we were brought up on. Born Identity comes to mind and shit like that. So this goes back to 1998, by the way, Ray, Wade, which is, it was a hack premise back then. So Bruce Willis stars as Art Jeffries, a 9-year-old autistic boy who cracked the government's new unbreakable code. He can read Mercury, which is the name of the code, the most advanced encryption code, as easily as other kids read English. He is then led by Bruce Willis, a rogue FBI agent, against his enemies, who are FBI agents themselves.
But I would have, instead of I think it's a more entertaining movie, and this is totally off topic, but like, wouldn't it be more fun if instead of autistic, he was like a bad boy with a leather jacket and he smokes cigarettes?
That's Terminator 2.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
That's Everybody knows what Terminator 2 is. Nobody even remembers Mercury Rising.
I'm glad you brought up Born Identity, because I'm like, I think that's the best trilogy ever. I'm so impressed.
Shaky with the camera. Yeah, calm that shit down, dude. I want to see some punches, man. I don't want to see you shaking the camera.
I know.
And
I'm
then
like,
cutting
I can
on
recreate
every impact.
Those fighting scenes. Yeah, for sure. But I'm like, I love the spy shit too.
My favorite scene in that is the meme scene where it's like, oh my gosh, oh holy shit, that's Jason Bourne. Like, when they spot him, it's like, you guys only have cameras right there? Like, you should have every camera.
It's weird that we're doing this topic. Well, although it's taken me a long time to write this movie, but I'm writing a movie right now with like a lot of puzzle shit. I should probably send it to you so that you could like plus up my puzzling.
Oh, definitely. Ooh. I love puzzle.
I really want to do an escape room comedy movie. And the escape rooms had all of their, you know, horror movie things, but yeah. I feel like there's a good comedy escape room.
I'm glad you said that, because like, I've never done an escape room, but I'm like, I always feel like it's like, oh yeah, this is big around Halloween. And I say that because it's like, well, I don't need to like be scared into getting out of the room. I know that the word escape is in there, but I like more of like a,
there's so many James that Bond aren't take. There's okay, so many that aren't like horror. Like the jail one is one. That's just a prison break.
Oh, we did an art thief one where like we had to like help an art thief. We did one.
Yeah, there was one where we were in like the mafia and we had to dispose of his body. That was really fun.
We did
we had to throw Orient it out Express a window.
One. Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of really cool ones, but there's also like, I feel like, going back to the topic.
No, it's good to do that, because we do have to, we got to finalize
yeah,
this. Got,
yeah, so. there is something to be said about the fear, mystery, and suspense of the internet. Like, I mean, that's kind of, we know it changes all the time. We know there's other, like, I mean, there's a fascination with the dark web because not everybody knows what it is. And right?
And then like, we can roll our eyes at 4chan right now, but I'm just like, the internet should be a place for hackers to team up, but it's so addressed that we can identify who everyone is. And I'm just going like, well, that should not be our future, that the government, because the government is completely going to rule the internet in the next 5 years.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. That's why I'm like, fucking sign me up for the CIA, man. I will be on the other side.
Walkie-talkies. I'm just building my own stuff from
scratch.
Dude,
I have these ham radio.
Can you build, wait, I'm sorry,
bet
Willie. Justin, can you build us an EMP?
Not on camera. EMPs are really dangerous because they're actually regulated. And an EMP has more of a chance of electric.
I don't care. Once the robots come around, you're our EMP guy,
we
man.
Need plans.
You fucking,
that's all. We need.
I'll send you so many chapsticks for an EMP, dude.
if you just,
dude, you want some quarters?
Right YouTube videos, you can see that there it's possible to build them. I got Willie Quarters and I got Chappy Wade on my side. How can I like that?
Oh, dude, what's best about the Chappy name is I can impersonate the South African robot Chappy.
That's right. Yeah, dude.
Hey, do you want some chapstick? It's me, Chappy.
I'm the black sheep.
I also feel like Diantwood is how normal people are going to look in the apocalypse. So I'm just like, that makes sense. They'd be hanging out with
that's
cool
going to be
robot.
A lot of fun. That's, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be when Willie just decided he didn't care what anyone thought and started dressing like, I want to say crazy, but it's just colorful, really. It's going to be that. Everyone's going to be out there going like, man, what am I still wearing t-shirts for? There's some chains right over there that would look really good on me.
What's crazy to me is that by the time Willie makes the transition to Willie Quarters, people are just going to be dressing like Willie has been dressing since 2009.
Oh, the fanny pack thing happened 10 years ago. He's been wearing them for like 20 years. Fanny packs, I know.
I'm going to a thing on Thursday where we have to dress up 80s. And I'm going like, I don't want to dress up like a character costume because I want to see, I want to wear my normal thing and be like, yeah, everyone dressed like me tonight. You know,
like, you need to dress like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like that would freak everyone out. Is just full suit, passing your business card out at the party.
Yeah. Yeah. No, because honestly, I feel like that's the only way to do it.
I was in a Channel 101 sketch with Willie way back that was called Cool, and everyone else was in costume, and then Willie just showed up, and we were in an 80s cornhole gang, and no one looked as good as Willie's outfit.
Yeah.
It was amazing. But it's always fun talking to you guys, and I am always a huge fan of discussing anything dealing with weird internet stuff. Yeah,
like,
there it is.
I watched this week, and I was like, oh, fuck. I found it. I was like, oh,
my
shit.
My big old mustache and my $50 Japanese glasses.
I don't even know which one you are. Are you on the left?
I am the one on the left, or I'm on screen left, yes. That's okay. Me.
I have
wearing my
sure
real veal hat.
Real veal?
Yeah, it's just real veal on it.
All right. So this thing, I love it. I love puzzles and shit, but I feel like I'm dumb. Like I the reason I hate puzzles is because I never know the rules about the puzzles before. And so I always look at the answer to understand the rules. So if you just present to me a puzzle without any fucking instruction, it drives me insane.
Dude, this puzzle can we make Cicada 3301 for dumb people? That would be fun.
So they did do that, Willie. It's a movie called Cicada 3301, starring our friend Ron Funches. It is a comedy that came out like 3 years ago.
Shut up. I never heard of that.
Right. Nobody did, actually. No one has ever heard of that movie outside of the people that I'm talking to right now.
I got
to
check it out, man. That's awesome. I'm glad you brought it up.
It is not good, but Ron is great in it.
That's a bummer.
It's like they tried to make a comedy out of it, and like, well, okay, it might actually be good, but me, as somebody who was solved on this, it's like,
no, I mean,
not funny at all.
Come on. They're just cashing in on an idea. Like they you know, like the only way to make a movie is to convince somebody with money. And so you're like already like
it might be bad, but it's not because of Willie's thing. Dude, I just don't understand. Like anyone with success, you like hate the way that they got the success. Like,
well, I'm like, he's saying it's not good, and I'm trying to justify. Like, yeah, dude, like they convinced.
That's probably just a bad movie. It's hard to make a good movie.
When I watched Cicada, I was biased, and I feel like. At one point in the movie, I was like, this is probably just how those battleship people felt.
Yeah.
Because I had played the game. They're all fucking up.
Oh, well, listen, I mean, if you're putting it on battleship level, that's undefensible. That's an indefensible movie. Like, if it's as bad as Battleship, who completely missed the point.
Well, Rihanna's not in it, so... I mean, you can't.
Yeah, but Ron Funches is like the male Rihanna.
Funches in it. He's in it, but it's.
Is he skinny in it or is he bigger?
Oh no, it's big Ron Funches. It's vintage 2011 Ron Funches.
Oh shit, 2011. Okay.
Oh no,
holy
I think it's
shit.
Later than that, but it's still when Ron was big.
Oh, got it. Okay. Anyway, what's the wrap up here, Willie? It's an open ended thing. Look into it if you're interested, but beware because killers could be behind it, or it could be the CIA. I just don't know at the end of this thing. And it's what?
It's open-ended. Like, if you feel like you can contribute, or if you feel like that you think that you know how to solve this thing, please let the solvers know, because they're still out there, still trying to figure out what the hell this thing is.
I mean, I would try, but they would just yell at me. They would just be like, we already did that.
So I said earlier, this by like I feel like you did, Wade, where it's like I always felt like way too dumb to do stuff like this. Mm-hmm. When I was able to even help in solving, it made me feel so smart that it made me actually want to learn things again. It made me want to learn about code, and it made me want to learn this stuff. So it's like, all it takes is like literally just like one thing to make you feel like, hey, maybe I do know some of this stuff. And then it makes it easier to learn that next thing.
Okay, well, leave us with this then, because you're involved. So this would be the best way to like point people in the right direction. I want to look at it tomorrow. How do I like start? What do I do? Do I need to get on the deep web first?
So I have posted a link. I posted a link in the chat that you guys can share to wherever.
What has happened so far or whatever?
So this is the Wikipedia. This is kind of where people post new findings. This is kind of, if you want a rabbit hole on that, there's tons to look at. There's been multiple documentaries made about Cicada, including the first solving. So it's like an hour and a half, or no, it's 42 minutes long. It's called DEF CON War Stories. So DEF CON 31 War Stories. It's 42 minutes long, and it's follows some hackers that were part of the original hacking team. It took place at the DEF CON conference, which is like a huge hacking conference in Las Vegas every year. And then Meet the Man Who Solved Cicada 3301. That one is suspect. I believe about maybe 80% of what he says. That one's an hour and 10 minutes long.
Okay. So we'll post this link. And if you're a problem solver,
the description,
then good luck, man.
And if you like AR games, this is a really good entrance to them. Like, there's tons of them online. There's ones that are like fun and fake, and then there's other ones like this one that are like you don't really know if they're real or not. So it's kind of like, it's just a really kind of interesting thing to do if you're bored looking at the same three websites all the time.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thanks for being with us. You're going to stick around and continue the conversation with us, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh, no, cool. I'm still here.
We're actually going to be talking more comedy stuff. So if you want to hear that, just the state of the comedy world and how sad it is. But hopefully, you know, it'll be positive in some way. Just
we can find light. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue the conversation over there. Justin, you shouted out a couple docs and stuff. Do you want to shout out your socials or anything?
I'm just Lentz, JustLentz on Instagram. It's a private account because I like to make a lot of off-color jokes and I don't want to lose my job. Don't be a bot and I'll probably accept your friend request.
Dude, Justin, thanks for coming. I'm so happy that we found this topic and that you were involved in it, because this is modern day spy shit, and there's nothing equivalent to spies in the now, and
it's gonna be hard to not continue talking about it, because it's great, and I could talk about it forever. I don't know,
you're a fucking spy, dude. You're like a hero.
We could have you come back in like 5 years when they've solved one other tiny part. You're out though, right? Probably. Have you given up?
I haven't given up yet. Every once in a while, I kind of take a look at it. I'm kind of on hiatus right now because I've just been kind of like building computers and like different PCB level stuff, which is super fun.
Well, yeah, we'll have you back. And this is like a fucking, it's a cool world. I kind of want to be in it, but
I know you can't just be a Mac user.
I'm just excited to let you guys.
It
know
feels
about
very tech. It feels like a lot of. It feels like a lot of tech shit. Like, I've tried to get on the deep web once, and I, you know, it's an unsettling place, and I don't even know how to do it. Something about onions and tours. thank you, everyone, for listening. Once again, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to continue listening. And if not, thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you next week. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks again, Justin.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.